our scripture reading this morning, and then our study will continue in the book of 1 Peter. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in your bulletin, you'll see I have actually listed verses 7 through 18. And since printing that, I've actually decided I'd like to begin reading at verse 1. So our scripture reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 18. So if you can, please stand with me as we listen to God's word being read. Here, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's been speaking about lots of different things, but he has talked about how that God allows us, in a similar manner to what we've been hearing time and time again from James, from the Thessalonians, from now 1 Peter, that God allows suffering in our lives, that God has purposes for suffering in our lives, and that he is making us more like Christ. And he's saying how, the Apostle Paul here is saying how he has experienced some of these things himself. Those who minister with him have experienced some of these things themselves. And so he comes to this point and says these things about all that they have been experiencing as they have been out on the road evangelizing and bringing many people in many different communities to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Again, beginning in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1, not verse 7. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, "I believed, and so I spoke," we also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. Listen to how he words this. For this slight, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comprehension, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated and turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1 as we continue our study entitled, the series entitled, Hope Amid the Gathering Clouds. And today's message is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, and entitled, Seeing Isn't Believing. Seeing Isn't Believing. Last week, we looked at verses 6 and 7 of this book, and we saw that trials can either be considered to be trials, defined as a test to see if one can stand up under the strain, or as a temptation, an attempt to destroy something. We also recognize that in general, we should not expect trials or temptations to be part of everyday life, but even if they are, we have hope in Jesus Christ that when he is revealed, that hope will result in praise, glory, and honor. We saw too that God ordains trials if necessary, if needed, because if God allows it, he has a purpose for it. That trial, that testing, that temptation will be used to make us more like Christ. That he went on and said that the genuine testedness of our faith through the difficulty, what's going to happen is the dross, the impurities, are going to be burnt off, and that which God desires to remove from us will be removed, and in a sense, we will shine like gold. But gold disappears. Gold is an element that only has value in this life, and God will make our lives of faith shine eternally. I also asked us last week to consider the differences between how Jesus was slowly and purposefully revealed in his first coming versus how he's revealed instantly in his second coming, and how when he does return, there's going to be those two different reactions. The first one being worshipers, believers will worship, and then for unbelievers, there will be real dread. Today, Peter continues his instruction about salvation. And back in verse 5, he kind of wanted us to understand that our full salvation has not come yet. It hasn't been fully revealed to us. But now as we get into verses 8 and following, part of what Peter is going to be showing us is he's going to be pointing forward to that day of enjoying our full salvation. But he's also going to be speaking here about how we can enjoy our salvation here in the current ongoing daily lives. I have a question for us. Have any of you ever seen Jesus? Has anybody ever seen Jesus? I'm not talking like the picture that's up here behind the screen of someone's portrayal of what they think Jesus looks like. Have any of us ever seen Jesus? I didn't expect anyone would, because generally that's not the way God reveals himself to us, right? He doesn't show us necessarily who Jesus is with a picture or in a dream. I understand it's beginning to happen in the Middle East, in the Muslim world, much more frequently, that God is revealing Jesus to them in dreams. But for the most case, Jesus doesn't just appear to us. Peter tells his readers and us that even though we aren't like Peter, we didn't walk with Jesus, we didn't talk with Jesus, we didn't eat with Jesus, we didn't move from town to town with Jesus, we have hope. We have the same hope that Peter himself has. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Remember that last week I mentioned how it almost seemed like Peter was just laying on this information at the outset of the book, giving us a lot of information about God, giving us a lot of information about the blessedness of our inheritance that we receive by the great mercy of God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Today, I hope we can see how Peter is moving forward his points. The first point that he kind of made to us is that we can have hope despite not having our full salvation revealed to us yet. And then next, his next point that he moved to was that we can rejoice despite the testing of our faith. And now today, his point is going to be more that our lives can have hope despite never having seen Jesus, and also having to wait to see him revealed and to receive our full salvation. So Peter is saying these two things simultaneously in these two verses. First, he's saying, I recognize I'm different from you. I saw Jesus. I walked with Jesus. I ate with Jesus. But secondly, I am the same as you because I cannot now see Jesus. I continue to maintain my relationship with Jesus in the same manner as you. Readers, listeners, through faith. We also don't want to miss what Peter ends this section with either. Faith has a purpose. There is an end goal or multiple end goals in our faith. There's something that's way, way more precious than gold or even the collection of cars or homes or toys or maybe even the enjoyable family experiences that we have together. Our precious faith results in seeing Jesus and being with him eternally. This forward look that Peter is talking about here should hopefully raise some questions for us. Do we live our Christian life in light of that forward look? In light of that forward hope, in light of the day that we will see Jesus. I know most of us are probably going to instantaneously say yes, but do we really? Do we really? Are we too tied to the here and the now? I think if we were honest with ourselves, most of us would say that yes, we probably are. Do we spend too much time and attention on our cars, our homes, our toys, or even our family? Are we overly consumed with the daily grind? Are we missing out on enjoying our faith today? Are we missing out on rejoicing in Jesus today? Are we sharing the goodness of God with others today? Or do we lack some concern of pleasing God and serving him? Because we're wrapped up in our daily agenda, what we need to accomplish. Do we live with eternity in mind each and every day? That's one of those questions that we need to answer. Are we living, even as the Apostle Peter says, as resident aliens? Do you feel like a resident alien? I know the things that I keep seeing on the news every time I turn the news on. I feel like the song, and I don't want to overplay it, but this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that we are just a passing through? Or are we so tied to everything that we do every day and every person that we interact with that that gets more time and attention than our relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you seen those stickers in the back windows of pickup trucks or maybe in the back or side windows of cars, N-O-T-W? N-O-T-W. Do you remember back when the logo was WWJD? I've already heard it. What would Jesus do? That had an impact, didn't it? Those four initials. What would Jesus do? That had a great impact. Because it had an impact not just in the Christian realm, it had an impact outside of the Christian realm, because even unbelievers would use those words to kind of make fun of us and say, okay, well, in this situation, what would Jesus do? Right? But those four initials had a great impact across society, at least across American society. I don't know whether that went around the world or not, but I know in American society, it reached out and meant something, good or bad, to many, many people. But how about N-O-T-W? Does anybody know what NOTW stands for? Not of this world. Those stickers, thank you, Ron. Those stickers in windows mean not of this world. Resident aliens. We are in the world, but not of the world. And when we're so tied to the things and the people of this life, then we are acting like we are the world and of the world. Peter's telling us that since we are redeemed from our former way of life by the blood of Jesus Christ, by his resurrection from the dead, we are not of this world. Seeing isn't believing. We believe by faith, and our faith has goals, one of them being that we can rejoice during trials, and then also giving praise, glory, and honor when we receive our full salvation when Jesus is revealed. A time that we will see, we will understand completely. But the Apostle Peter has even more to say in verses 10 through 12 about salvation. Look there with me, if you would, please. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Now, if you're like me, you've probably read those three verses over and over again throughout your life and not really thought about really what is it Peter is saying here. What's he trying to get across? What's he trying to point out to us? So if you are like me, you needed to dig a little deeper, and I dug a little deeper, and here's what I've found. What Peter is talking about here is a lot to do with salvation history, the way God has revealed or unfolded salvation over a period of a long, long time. And in here, in these three verses, we see Peter talks about, or he's going to refer to, essentially three groups of people. And the first group he's going to refer to are the Old Testament prophets. Peter says that Old Testament prophets spoke of God's grace, and that they realized that God's plan of salvation was unfolding over this long period of time. And when God's grace enabled his plan of salvation to come about, they came to find out that it wasn't going to happen in their lifetimes. It was yet future to them. In fact, look at verse 12. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you. So, Peter's saying that the Old Testament prophets were given, to some degree, the plan of salvation. Now, they weren't told his name was going to be Jesus. They weren't told everything that he was going to do. But over a period of time, they recognized, they come to realize that God was bringing about his plan of salvation. And then the prophets found this out, that it wasn't going to be effective in their lifetime, because they diligently searched the scriptures that they had access to, and they questioned God on a regular basis about through whom this salvation would be revealed. Remember, it said, what person? The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. So they searched the scriptures, they conversed with God, and they recognized that it wasn't going to happen in their lifetime, but They wanted to know the who and the when. And there are multiple examples of Old Testament prophets having these types of conversations or interactions with God. Jeremiah is probably the most prominent. There are others, but Jeremiah, if you're interested in finding a prophet, an Old Testament prophet who had those types of conversations with God, he would be probably the most prominent. And then it's interesting that Peter uses this phrase, this phrase, the Spirit of Christ, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the suffering of Christ in the subsequent glories. It seems odd that Peter would use that phrase, the Spirit of Christ, right? But keep in mind, he is speaking to his recipients of this letter after Christ has come. And so he is looking back and saying that it was the Spirit of Christ, it was the Holy Spirit who was showing them these things, that there was going to be salvation coming to humankind through someone who was going to suffer. We know that story. Then he says, the subsequent glories. Here, of course, Peter is speaking of Jesus' resurrection, his ascension, even his session, or being seated at the right hand of the Father, and his second coming. So the first group of people were the Old Testament prophets. The second group of people Peter refers to in these verses are evangelists. God's plan of salvation was slowly being revealed through the Old Testament prophets. But when everything that needed to be done was done to inherit salvation, when it was all accomplished, when Jesus walked the face of the earth completely sinlessly, when he died a substitutionary death, a sacrificial death for us, when he was resurrected, and everything that needed to be done for salvation was done, once the temple, the veil of the temple was torn in two, and access to the Father was fully granted, and nothing else needed to be done for us to receive the gift of eternal life other than place our faith in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, turn from our sins, and trust Jesus as our Savior. Someone you need to tell about this glorious plan. Hence, the evangelists, or those who spoke. The second part of verse 12. In the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Now, Peter could actually be referring to the apostles. He could be referring to the day of Pentecost, but it is really much, much more likely that he's just referring to any Christian who has been obedient to the Great Commission, and as they were going about their daily business, shared the good news of Jesus with others and made disciples. So, the first group was prophets, the second group was evangelists, or those who share their faith. The third group of people that Peter refers to are his readers or listeners, and of course us, the recipients of the good news, the recipients of the grace of God. Verse 11, the second part of it. The prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours. Those who were going to receive the truth. Those who Peter's writing to. Those who Peter's word is being recorded and written down for. Those like us who are going to hear down through the ages. God's long unfolding plan of salvation came in bits and pieces through the mouths of the Old Testament prophets. And then when that plan of salvation was complete, evangelists preached the good news, all with the goal of having people hear and respond to the truth set before them. God's plan needs to be told to people so that they can hear and they can respond. Seeing isn't believing. With the exception, of course, of the way Jesus is speaking to Muslims in dreams at present. But hearing the word is important. Someone must be obedient. Someone must go. Someone must tell. so that others can hear and can respond, so that there can be recipients of the grace of God. The word must be shared. And as we talked probably a couple Wednesday nights ago, that the American church really, I don't think, understands the importance of this and how really easy it can be to share our faith. I want to share about a six-minute video with us from Todd Friel. He heads up a ministry called Wretched Radio, and he says that I am the wretch in the song. And this video is entitled, Do You Struggle to Explain the Gospel? It was just posted actually yesterday, June 13th. And Todd is speaking with a lady named Skylar. She's a college student in Georgia. And you'll notice as he gets just a little bit into the video, he's going to say, remember, I've been talking to you for some time now, and I've told you the bad news. The bad news that God must punish sin. The bad news that God's wrath will be poured out upon those who don't trust in Jesus Christ. But there's the good news, and he shares the good news with Skylar. So let's watch this about six-minute clip and listen to just how easy it is to share our faith. Has an understanding there's God, right? But what did she just say? This is the first time I've ever heard this. This is the first time I've ever heard this put together in a package in what? 3 minutes. She's being educated at one of, I don't know where, but somewhere in college in Georgia. If people aren't hearing the truth of the gospel, how are they going to be able to respond? If we can't present something this simple and take the things that Todd Friel has said, did you hear him talk about injustice? That Jesus took the injustice of mankind upon him. He's taking the things that are happening in the world right now and weaving them into the conversation that he's having with this young lady who is interested in hearing the gospel. Continue on, Patty.
Yeah, that happens a lot where we get little bites of it, but nobody ever really kind of connects the dots for us. Well, right now you've just heard the dots connected. So here's what you're confronted with on this glorious day in Georgia. You now know something more important than your studies. You know the truth of everlasting life. Right now, you have been given that knowledge. But it's not enough to just go, okay, I know it, I'm good to go. That's not what God is seeking. God commands you in this day to repent. The word that means you turn from your sins. You don't become perfect, but it's like, the things that I was doing, I don't want to do those things anymore. I want to live for the one who died for me. And you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Not a mere mental ascent, but you put your trust in him like you'd put your trust in a parachute. You put it on because you believe it's going to save you. You put on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. God wants to adopt you into his family. God wants to demonstrate his kindness by saving you today. So I'm going to walk away and I might never see you again. But now you know the key to everlasting life. And I just want to clarify one thing for you so that this is maybe left ringing in your ears as I go. What I just presented to you is not a get out of hell free plan. Okay? Because you're afraid to die. I used to be afraid to die. God doesn't want you to use him as fire insurance, just a get out of hell free card. He will get you out of hell because of Jesus. But it shouldn't just be that we turn to him because we're scared of hell. We should want to be in a relationship with him because he rescued us from hell. Because he's good, and he's kind, and he's loving, and he's gentle, and he's merciful, and he's a benevolent father. That's what I'd like for you. So I can't do that for you. Can't make you. I'm not signing you up for a religion today. I'm walking away. I'm simply encouraging you to think on these things as if your eternity depended on it, because it does. Fair enough?
It does.
Thanks for being patient.
All right,
will you think on these things at least?
Of course.
Did you hear, too, that apparently there was some other conversation prior to what we saw that Todd knew that she was scared of death? Because he said, "You're scared of death. I used to be scared of death. But Jesus took away that sting of death." He didn't word it that way, but basically that's what he was saying. It's that simple. Sharing our faith is that simple. It's just getting into conversations with people that we rub elbows with every day, knowing them enough, asking enough questions to be able to find out where it is that Jesus can help them. And in her case, it was probably all the things that are going on around the world today and around America today, and being, as a young person, just scared of death. What if death comes to my doorstep? And Jesus, of course, is the answer. This plan of salvation that Peter is referencing here, that God put out over a long period of time and then had come to fruition in the person of Jesus Christ, is much more precious than gold. I know we know that. But remember, it took prophets, it took evangelists, and it takes recipients. But there's also one group of people, or one group rather, not a group of people, that salvation excludes in this passage. And that's angels. Those who are called to do God's bidding, his messengers. See how it ends? It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, this is referring to the prophets, but you, in the things that have been announced to you through those who preach the good news, that's the evangelists, to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things into which angels long to look. Now, if even those who are God's created beings doing his bidding and cannot inherit eternal life long to look into salvation and salvation history and understand it, what's keeping us and me, all of us, from sharing our faith in the goodness of God in the person of Jesus Christ with others? There really shouldn't be anything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the goodness of your word. We thank you for the challenge that it is to us to share our faith with others. We thank you for your wonderful plan of salvation history that goes all the way back to the garden and then worked through history, through your people, the Jews, through many different men and women, through many prophets, but then that it came to fruition in the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked sinlessly, who took on sin himself, who took on your wrath himself, who paid the penalty for us that we could not pay ourselves. And then, not only did he willingly go to the cross, but he did die, he was buried, and he was resurrected on the third day. Thank you for your goodness to us and for giving us through the blood of Jesus Christ and through his resurrection. Thank you for the truth of your word. Help us to apply it to our lives this day and the days ahead, and then share that faith with others out there, just like Skylar, who are wanting answers and not knowing where to turn. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.